I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say, I would say, what's the problem with Stardust bumping into Stardust?
In the cosmic picture, no, there's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
Adventure. We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
I saw the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. That's Daniel 7:13 through 14, y'all. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. I am Jeff. They call me the Ninja. This is the gospel heard around the world. You can get us at ApologiaStudios.com. That's A-P-O-L-O-G-I-A Studios.com. That's Luke the Bear right there.
What up?
That's a tricetra behind me, ancient symbol of the Trinity. And that is Yerba Mate. So I'm just preemptively...
They already commented about the yerba.
Answering the questions. Yeah. What is the drink? So this is Guayaki... Yerba mate. Yerba mate is good for you, and it's not an energy drink like a rock star or something like that. It's just tea. It's delicious, good for you, keeps you awake, and this is a big canister of water.
Yep, that's water, H2O.
Lucas
alkaline.
Is always drinking lots and lots of water.
You have to in this state, especially because summer's here.
Hey, to the men. It is.
It is here.
Hot.
It has arrived.
So I've been doing a lot of training outdoors over the last year. COVID hit, and I was like, you know, I got to get something out of this. So, you know, so I'm going to start training again. So I've been training a lot. And I just realized the other day, I was like, I need to, like last year, I made sure that I did a little earlier in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you wait half an hour, just a half an hour space.
Yeah.
Is the difference between a good workout, good
and
sweat, and then you're dead.
Yeah.
Wade came to my house last year to help out at my house.
He did.
He helped out.
It didn't go well.
It didn't go well. Wade was at my house. He was helping me pull some stakes up. Rather, I would just say he was pulling the stakes up, and I was inside the air conditioning. He just wanted to bless my family. So he goes out to pull the stakes up. And this is Wade, who's going to Utah, Apologia, Utah, soon to be Pastor Wade.
Yeah.
He came in, he was just... He wasn't even out there very long. I mean, it seemed like 15 minutes he was out since the last song. He came in, and he's sitting at the dinner table, and he just sort of like, I'm not feeling so good. And then he just said, I think you need to call someone. That's what I knew. It was serious. So called 911, laid Wade out, and I just, for like 5 minutes, I just spoke very nicely to Wade. I was like, Wade, you're fine. You're loved. It's going to be just good.
Were you holding him like
the... I was holding like cradling him like a
baby?
Little baby.
Yeah.
Now, I looked like the baby holding the adult with Wade, but I was cradling him in my arms. Just comforting him.
Lullabies to him.
Yes, yes. And about before the fire department got there, he recovered fully. But I tell you, Arizona will get you.
The point is, he didn't drink any water.
That should be a T-shirt. We started selling. Yeah. Arizona will get you.
Yeah. He also had that happen from the pulpit.
He did, didn't he?
Didn't drink water. Was making an announcement. Sorry, Wade. He's in the other room. Love you, bro.
Yeah.
Was so, making an announcement.
He almost died at my house, and then. He passed out,
almost passed out.
Before the church, like doing announcements. Well, how did he do it? Tell me how he did it.
He was like, I forget what it was, like a Mormon thing or something. And he was All of a sudden, he's just like, I'm not feeling so good. And we're like, and he just kind of walked off the stage, and we're like,
hey, wait.
So Zach and I followed him to make sure he's okay, and I think James got up and did a eulogy for him, I think, and they did prayed for him for a while.
You got to drink water, Wade.
He didn't drink enough water. Arizona.
When you get to Salt Lake, you can do less water. Here,
it's pretty dry there,
it's
too.
It's water, because Arizona will get you.
The water there is salty.
What's that? What? I did. I saved. Yeah. Now, I tell the story. He remembers it like the heroic Jeff. Like, I came in. I was like, I got you, bro. And, like, but in reality, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's that big of a deal. But, you know, he remembers it as the day I saved his life. I mean, I did get, like, you know, wet rags and everything put all over his body. You did
you
look.
Sponge. You were sponging.
I will say you did look ridiculous.
Yeah, Jeff, you were shirtless. That's true.
Yeah, was I? I think I was, wasn't I? Yeah, I was probably outside training. Yeah, I was outside like punching and kicking in the heat.
No, you.
And he was outside pulling up stakes. I really was. He was pulling up stakes, and then he was like, "I think you need to call someone, call the police." But yeah, it's Arizona, bro.
Sorry, Wade. We had no intention of
talking about this, but it happens.
It happens. It's organic.
So, welcome everybody across STEM internets who's watching right now globally and who will see this in the future. This is Apologia Radio. Get us again at ApologiaStudios.com. What is going on there? Just want to point out to everybody that you can go to ApologiaStudios.com and you get all the episodes, past episodes, Apologia Radios. You can get Sheologians. You can get Provoked. You can get Cultish. Some really cool stuff happening right now with Cultish, talking about all the UFO disclosure and everything's supposed to happen on June 25th. Very important element of cultural conversation you have to be involved in. So check out Cultish for that stuff. But hundreds of radio episodes and podcasts at ApologiaStudios.com. Don't miss them. And if you sign up for All Access, you guys can get access to the TV show, the after show, Apologia Academy, and you partner with us in all the ministry that we're doing globally. I will also say that you need to go to ApologiaStudios.com to get your free Bonson U account so you can start digesting all the Bonson U stuff. Bonson U is being worked on constantly right now, everybody. We're remastering the audio. I will say it's the best education that you can get. Top tier. It is amazing in terms of seminary level education, great Bible stuff, study teaching through the Bible stuff. Dr. Greg Bonson is one of the giants of the Christian faith. But some of the audio is straight ghetto.
Garbage,
yeah.
Trash.
So yeah,
not
and
good.
So we are,
no
are
bueno.
we are spicing it up, sprucing it up, making it sound really nice, so it's much better for 2021. And so that's all underway right now. It will be completed before the Lord returns.
Lord willing.
It'll be done. And so it's all in production right now, guys. But right now, there is the beginner level basic introduction to Christian apologetics. There is the mid-level, and I think advanced is up. And there's other things that are about to drop right now, too. So go check it out. We just invested a bunch right now in the next 3 months, making sure that a ton of stuff is done for that for you. So go and get your free account and start benefiting from all of the life and ministry of Dr. Greg Bonson at ApologiaStudios.com with Bonson U. Welcome, Bear.
Can we maybe whet people's appetite for what we are planning next year? Or is it
go
too soon?
It.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
ReformCon 22.
By the way, we have Lizzie on the line right now, guys. And we're about to pull her in right now. But Lizzie, we got to make sure we get through all this stuff. We'll get you on a second here. Go ahead.
ReformCon 22. Be watching for it next spring.
ReformCon 22.
It's coming. That's all I can say.
In Arizona.
Right now.
And we're going to do our very best to not have it when it's this hot.
Yep, uh-huh.
And we'll do it in a way where, like, if you're coming from, like, the East Coast or something, it's going to be, like, magical. You're going to be like, this is the greatest place ever. How come everyone in the world doesn't live here? And then when you fall into that error, that pit, you end up here in July and August wondering how humans actually settled here.
Pit
and,
of hell.
And why? The question will come up. Why would any human do such a thing?
It's true.
So, yeah, ReformCon 2022.
That's about all we have right now, but it's just be ready for it next spring.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Get ready for it, guys. You can fly out. We're going to have a nice place to stay. We're going to have a great place. We're in a great location. We're going to have all kinds of really cool things, lots of fellowship, lots of time together to hang out and celebrate and get to know one another. It's all coming 2022, spring of 2022. So we've been having meetings on that, and we'll be announcing all that when we have all the details. Welcome, everybody, across the world. If you didn't catch it, we have in the channel here, Apologia Studios, fairly recently in the last 2 weeks. We have a conversation that we were honored to have with Lizzie. Lizzie initially got in contact with us because she had commented on an End Abortion Now post. And in that post, she said she wanted to debate the issue, which I thought was amazing and actually honorable. Very honorable. People love to be trolls in comments and say all kinds of nasty things, but they're not willing to actually, you know, get on and work through these
very
things.
Very courageous.
And Lizzie is super, super, super courageous. And I was really, really blessed by her conversation with her. I really love her. I think she's wonderful. And we had a great conversation. So that is up right now. Don't leave this right now to watch that. But just when you get a chance, check it out later so you get to know Lizzie a little bit. And so Lizzie is joining us for a part two. And I actually don't even really quite know what we're talking about today. But we're just going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Lizzie is, at least on her profile, she's a supporter of Black Lives Matter. She's a supporter of abortion. She's, and forgive me, what else was it?
You say BLM.
BLM. It was pro-choice.
Sex work?
Pro-sex work. Not sure. I forget what else. But so
Tim Hortons, we learned.
She's she does.
Pro-Tim Hortons.
Yeah, she's pro-Tim Hortons. Apparently, if you're in Canada, why not? So we come to this from two different sides, of course. Historic Christian Orthodox position. Word of God is the standard for all life. And, of course, Lizzie comes from sort of, I don't want to be, a leftist, the typical kind of leftist position.
Yeah.
This kind of the standard line of pro-choice and pro-BLM, all that stuff. So we are honored to have on again Lizzie. Lizzie, welcome again to Apologia Radio.
Hi.
What's up? Welcome back.
Welcome. I have my cat.
What's that?
I have my cat.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, we welcome cats here.
That's good.
Okay, so Lizzie, it's been about 2 weeks. We had hoped to have you on last week, but we just weren't able to do that. I hope everything is well with your friend and their family, and I'm sorry to hear about what happened, but so glad that we're able to get this together. And I just want everyone to know Lizzie actually, between the two of us, has been the one that's sort of like chomping at the bit and ready to like, let's get this done. Are we going to do it this week?
Yeah,
so she's been great. She's been great to keep me on track too. So Lizzie, we had a conversation. Well, I guess maybe we'll just start with this. How did you feel after our first conversation? What are some of the things you were thinking?
I was like really nervous, and I don't know, it was like a lot of emotions. And then I just kind of saw like how many views the video got over the next few days. So that was like nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But no, it was a very interesting experience, you know?
Okay.
And I felt pretty good.
Well, when you reflected on sort of what we had talked about in that first episode, what are some of the things, like, as you've had time to think about it, did we say anything that sort of challenged you that you're rethinking, or did you have time to sort of think about, well, maybe I should have responded this way and maybe you want to say that now?
I definitely have like some responses to like some of your questions, but like one of the things that like I can't really reply to is like the having morals without religion, because I ended up looking into that.
Uh-huh.
And that's like really confusing.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that, because I mean this is where it comes down to, and I'd love to hear you sort of express that thought a little more and tell me what you're thinking in that way, and like sort of what maybe piqued your curiosity about it. But when we're talking about things that we have in dispute with one another, like moral oughts and responsibilities, things that people should do or shouldn't do, my point was that you have to have a foundation that can make sense of what you're saying and doing. And so a lot of people, Lizzie, that would be even be different than you and I. If you get a chance after the show, fairly recently I had a conversation with a guy at ASU who was a moral nihilist. And that's a person that essentially says, there is no right. There is no wrong. Nothing is right. Nothing is wrong. Nothing matters at all. Nothing matters at all. And so that'd be a person that would even be in conflict with you and I together. They would say, no, nothing matters at all. And they would just profess to it. And so that's sort of what they're standing on. And so when I was challenging you a bit, what I was trying to do was to show you that if you've adopted a position of reality in human beings and the world, And you say, okay, this is fundamentally what is true. And I kept pointing to things that I hope are easy to remember, like our ancestors were bacteria. You know, we evolved from fish in this purposeless universe. I was trying to challenge you on the fact that, like, well, if you believe in your atheistic perspective, then none of your moral sort of indignation really makes any sense. I mean, there's nothing really that any of us ought to be doing at all, because nothing is necessary. And so that all of this really comes down to that as we start this conversation is, can we really have any moral complaints, any cries for justice apart from Jesus? Like, can any worldview make sense of that outcry apart from Jesus? So I'll let you talk now.
Well, I mean, I kind of think it's just like an automatic response to feel empathy and remorse for things. Like, I don't know. I feel like you don't need a God to feel that way. But like, I don't know. Because like what you're saying totally does make sense. And like I said, like, I literally don't have an answer. Nobody has an answer for that. Like, I looked into it and there are like no answers for that shit stuff.
I know. Can I challenge you on this? Just something to think about. I would say, and I don't mean this in any way arrogantly or proudly, but just confidently in terms of what Scripture gives to us in terms of a coherent worldview, I don't think there ever will be an answer coming apart from a biblical worldview or apart from Christ. 'Cause if you think about this way, okay, so like one of the things I said to you last week when we were talking about sexuality, you were saying as long as there's consent. And what I was saying was, I think your worldview, atheism, and that view of reality in humans brings human beings down to just beasts dancing out their human sexuality and their DNA. I didn't mean that just to simply try to get one over on you. I meant really, like seriously, Lizzie, when you think about this from a biblical perspective, the biblical worldview from God's revelation, you and I are not like other creatures. We're not even like other parts of creation. There's an order of creation, but there's a unique element to this, and that's this, that there is a loving, all-knowing, all-powerful, just, and righteous God, an eternal God, the only God, who creates for his glory and for our delight in him, and he creates us as distinct creatures with purpose, with meaning, with value, with beauty, all that stuff. And he does it with special creation, and again, for his glory. And so there's a very particular, specific, like, revelation of God that tells us who we are and how we should live. And then if we take the opposite perspective, the sort of popular perspective today of, say, an atheistic or humanist perspective, that says that all of us are in this universe that's just chaos, time and chance acting on matter. It's just stuff moving through space. There is no purpose. There is no meaning. There's no special guidance of the universe. And human beings, you and I, Lizzie, in that perspective, are just one more aspect along the chain of chaos in motion. You're no more meaningful, and neither am I, than rocks or anything. And so, like, all of that really does matter, though, right? Because I think, like, you just said this, like, we instinctively know better. And I actually agree with you there. I totally agree with you when you say we instinctively know something, there's something different here. And what I mean by that is you do feel empathy and sympathy. You do want to hold other human beings up as valuable. I mean, even in your experience over the last week, I thought it was highly, I didn't get a chance to tell you this, I thought it was highly honorable what you were doing to say, I'm going to cancel the thing with Jeff to go and support my friend mm-hmm. in her time of need and during this time of grief. Even that, I thought, again, was highly honorable and a beautiful thing, but that demonstrates that within you, you instinctively know there's something more to the person that goes into the ground than just a bag of stuff. Human beings are more valuable than that. And here's what I was pressing you on. Apart from Jesus Christ, apart from a biblical worldview, apart from God as creator, human beings are just bags of stuff you put into the ground. But we know better.
Right.
You and I know better. And you act like you know better. And so that's what I was trying to challenge you on. And I don't know if I was clear with it, but this, when I said to you, I think I said this to you, Lizzie. I said, you know, I think you're showing that you're in the image of God. You can't get away from it. Like, we may be at war with our Creator. We may be ostracized and separated from Him, because we're sinners and we don't want Him in our thinking and our lives. But we can't help being what God made us to be. Like, you're an image bearer of God. It's like, Lizzie, I'll shut up after this. I have a 1.5-year-old little boy, and he does the silliest thing right now. I don't think my other kids ever did it. He's my fifth kid. I don't think any of my other kids ever did this, really, like the way that he does it. But what he'll do is, like, if he's doing something naughty or he knows he's not supposed to be doing, like, he'll take too big of a bite of a sandwich, and we're like, little bites.
Which he does all the time.
He does. He loves food, Lizzie. He'll take too big of a bite of a sandwich, and he knows we say little bites so he doesn't choke. We're like, little bites. We'll take a big bite, and he just did this morning. And then I'll say, Augustine, little bites. And then he'll close his eyes, squeeze them really tight and shut, and just sit like 2 feet in front of me and think that I can't see him or he's not there. Right. And it's super cute and sinful, but that's what he does. He tries to just squeeze his eyes shut. Like if I just close my eyes and say, you're not there. Like, you know, you disappear from reality. But it won't cut it. That just won't happen. And I would say that's all of our problem, Lizzie, not just yours or anybody else who doesn't profess faith in Jesus. That's all of our problem, because we're sinners and we're fallen. We're rebels against God. We're squeezing our eyes shut. We're trying to pretend like he's not there. But you won't be able to escape the reality of the fact that he is there, and you're made in his image, and all these things are inescapable. Okay, so now I'll shut up.
Sorry. I don't think it's that we're trying to pretend a God isn't there. I think it's more we actually don't believe in a God. Like, I don't just try to, like, pretend that God isn't real. Like, I've said this before, I've tried to, like, get into religion. I've tried to believe in a God. But I just, like, cannot come to the conclusion that, like, some dude in the sky made us. And also, I was thinking a lot earlier today, I think, like, God is kind of like an uncool dude. Like, let me explain.
Okay.
If you don't follow his rules, you burn in hell for eternity. Like, you literally burn for eternity if you don't follow his rules. Also, there are a lot of comments about my cleavage, and it is hilarious. Oh, my God.
Sorry about that. To the people in the comments, let's try to remember context here and try to be gracious in this conversation. I think, Lizzie, you've corrected that anyways, at least I could see in the video here. So go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, what was I saying? Oh my God.
Oh, you were saying that God's basically a big meanie.
Yeah, I do think he's kind of a big meanie. Okay. Like, no normal, like, caring person would just send someone to hell for eternity because they don't follow their rules. And, like, I don't know. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I gotta move my move. Shirt on my legs. I don't know. It just gives me really uncool vibes.
Okay. So that, no, I appreciate you expressing sort of your concern in that area, but let me just challenge you to think on this. And again, you know that my goal here is not to pull one over on you or win a debate with you, but just to communicate with you. So back to sort of what I was saying as a foundation, like, I believe that there's an eternal God, the only God who is love and justice and righteousness and holiness and goodness and truth. And he creates us for his glory and ultimately for our delight in him. Like, one of the things that we say is what our primary purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. God created us to enjoy him. But it's our sin that separates us from him. But I have a worldview that can say that something is sinful, because I have the character of God, the eternal character of God, by which to measure something as wrong. So when you call God a big meanie and you say you don't like his justice, you don't like his judgments, you have to have a basis to say that, though, right? Because you can't just say it. You have to have a basis and a meaningful position to say, I find that morally repugnant. I find that wrong. Well, my challenge to you, and let's just interact with this, is by what standard do you call anything wrong, Lizzie? if you think God's a big meaning for, you know, being a just God and a holy God who actually responds to evil in the ways that he does, my question to you is, by what standard do you call anything wrong or mean or unkind?
Okay, so it's not how he replies to evil, because just not following the Bible isn't evil. Raping people is evil. Murdering people
is evil. That's in the Bible.
Actually, I was reading like a Bible verse, and it was like, it was fine, like, if you raped someone as long as you got married afterwards.
No, it's a typical, and this is what I would challenge you with. Send me those links that you're looking at, because oftentimes with like atheistic, let's put it this way, atheists are very bad exegetes. An exegete is a person who would sort of draw out of the text its meaning, historical context. And so oftentimes you'll find atheists that'll use little chestnut arguments about the Bible condones slavery, the Bible condones rape, when actually it's the other direction. It actually has a higher standard than most atheists today. It actually says that if you kidnap and enslave somebody, you deserve capital punishment. And it's very clear on that. And it also says that if you engage in rape, you deserve to die, not get jail time, not get a fine, but you deserve to lose your life for rape. There is, of course, a passage that atheists have a hard time interpreting because they don't really seem to care about interpreting the Bible in context or historically. And that particular passage is about people that actually have premarital sex. If a man seduces a woman and ends up having premarital sex with her, he's under obligation now to marry her. In other words, happening a lot today. Lizzie, I would say this today. Happens all the time today, and people have no problem with it. Boys that like to use girls as toys. I love you. You're the best thing in the world to me. And after they've had their good and proper use of them, they get bored with the sex. And so they say, never mind, not interested. So what have they done? They've taken advantage of this girl, treated her like an animal, treated her as an object, and then said, well, I'm done with you. I'll throw you away. And you have guys that'll be 30 years old that have gone through the cycle of doing this to girls until they're, you know, 30-something, and they've done it with 10 different girls, moved in with girls, had girlfriends, fiancés, and then they said, I'm done with you now, and they leave. Well, God actually values women a lot more than that. It says if you're going to seduce a woman, have sex with her in that way, well, then now you're obligated to actually marry her.
All right, so you realize that's, like, how bad marriages start, right? Like...
Well, the idea here in this context is that the men in that's not a rape scenario. It's a case law example. It's not a rape scenario being described there of the woman who didn't like the guy and wasn't. It was essentially a woman who's seduced by the guy. He's taken advantage of her, so she wants to be with him, obviously, because it's not rape. And so the commandment there is that in principle he should now actually keep his commitments. He wanted to have sex with her. Well, marry her.
Okay, so obviously there are cases where people like take advantage of people. I've been taken advantage by older guys. It's awful. However, you can have consensual sex with someone without it being taking advantage of them. Like, you know that, right? There's absolutely nothing wrong with having consensual sex, because consent is the only important factor in sex. Like, I don't know why it's your business or anyone else's business of for what other people do during sex, as long as it's consensual and nobody's being harmed.
Well, the first thing I would say here is I see that you have a very, very firm commitment to something that is right, something that is wrong, something that is morally repugnant. But again, I'd point you back to the fact that without Christ, you really can't have a basis for any of these moral outcries that you have right now. And I would say I do believe that when we've been created by God, that's his world, it's his universe, he's the standard of what's right and what's wrong. When he creates us and we live in a way that's not in accordance with his creation, that we are ultimately not loving God, not loving one another. So in other words, sex before marriage, I would say, does hurt people. It absolutely does hurt people. Even if it's consensual, it hurts her, it hurts him. In some way, we are actually violating one another because we're not living according to how God made the world. There's something there in terms of a lack of love, in terms of a lack of commitment. There's something there in terms of raw and broken motivation that is destructive. And it's first and foremost not loving to God, who is God and the creator of all things, and he's the one that determines what is right and what is wrong, but it's also not loving to one another. I would say consent is not just is not the only important thing here. And by the way, I would just point you this back to our previous discussion in that consent, you're very concerned with consent in this discussion about what one human being does to another human being's body. Consent is very important to you. And I do respect that because to a degree, I absolutely agree with you. Consent is very, very important. And back to the issue of abortion, which was the original part of the discussion we were having, consent isn't taking place with the human being in the womb.
We're talking about consent with sex. Yeah. Not just like everything.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm talking in principle, though.
Yeah, but you could use that for like a lot of other things.
Sure. But it's the moral principle about what one person does to another person's body. Because if you think about it the other direction, you and I would both 100% agree that when a man has sex with a woman without her consent,
a man rapes a woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's raping her. He's doing something to her body apart from her will, apart from her consent. And that is, in fact, rape. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you and I really dug down on that and said, well, why? We would probably both have the same answer. Well, one human being doesn't have the right to do things to another human being's body apart from their consent or their will. We would both have the same answer. Now, I would have an answer underneath that because God says, and here are the implications. But that does, I hope you can finally see that that does actually come towards the same issue related to abortion. That is what's taking place in the issue of abortion. It's one human being is doing things, violating another human being's body apart from their consent and apart from their will.
The fetus is also violating the woman's body. Nobody should be forced to carry a pregnancy.
How is the little human in the womb violating? Now think about it, Lizzie. Think about this. I know you've had friends who've been pregnant, probably loved ones that have been pregnant. Have any of them told you as they're carrying that baby, as they're having baby showers or putting the crib together in the room, I believe this baby is violating my body? Anybody talk like that?
None that wanted to keep it.
Right. So see, the real issue there is not whether it's violating their body. The real issue is the person doesn't want
being
it.
In their
right.
Pardon?
That's the issue then. It's a moral issue. It's not the issue of a human being inside the body. Lizzie, you're built for it. You're built for it. You're made uniquely by God. And like I said last week, I said some people don't like the word. I think women are kind of magical in ways, right? I mean, you guys, women are glorious. They're incredible. And you have this insane body that is just so perfectly fit to like bless a child and to create human life. I mean, you create other human beings inside your body and send them off into the world. It's powerful, and that's a gift. And
but not everyone wants to.
Well, when you say nobody wants to, you're built for it.
Some people.
What's
some
that?
Some people want to.
Okay, so let's...
Not everybody wants to.
Let's talk about it. If two people have sex consensually, okay, yeah. And they create a unique human life through the act of sex, I think you and I would both agree that when we as humans have sex with the opposite sex, we realize that there's a particular function of the male and a female, and that the inevitable ultimate result may be a child comes from this union of our bodies. Like, we understand that when we have sex with each other. So when
it can,
what's that?
But that's why we use contraception and everything.
Okay, so, but we have two people, let's say, that are in a relationship. This is just a scenario. Now, I'm going to dig down a little deeper. We could dig deeper, but I want to try to get into some of these other implications. When two human beings have sex with one another, they know that they can have a child, correct? Now, after they know they can have a child, they have sex with each other, maybe say it's even out of wedlock, and a child is produced, they knew that that was a possibility. Now, you believe that they should have a right to murder their child, even though they knew having sex that the consequence between a man having sex with a woman is a baby.
They should have a right to terminate it if it's inside their body, yes.
Okay, let's try to use the words that, what are we doing with terminate? We are ending the life of a human being, correct?
Yeah, we're aborting the fetus.
Okay, so let's try it again. So you say aborting the fetus. That means stopping the little baby from living, right? But what I'll say is we're murdering the human being in the womb, and that's all indisputable. It can't be denied. It's the unjustified taking of human life in the womb. And so it's murdering a human being. You do believe that
in her womb.
What's
it's
that?
It's in her womb.
So we should be able to kill people based upon their based upon their location.
If they're in your body, yeah, you can kill it.
Okay, so same argument used. I'll point you to it. I can point to the references. Same argument used in the past for black slaves is it's my property. It's my choice. I can do with my property as I please.
But they weren't their property. They weren't inside their bodies.
They were on their property. This is my property. This is under my domain. This is my stuff. And this is my property. It's on my property. I can abuse this slave. I can kill this slave. I can do what I want with my property.
We're not talking about property. We're talking about bodies, our literal bodies.
Right, exactly. Now,
property and body.
Well, you have ownership of your own body. You have dominion and control over your own body. But that extends outward beyond our own human body. Like, for example, if I purchase property, that's my house, that's my property. It also belongs to me. Am I allowed to just kill other human beings willy-nilly because they're, quote-unquote, invading my space or my property? Do you think that's justified?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? My phone's like almost dead, so it like glitched out.
No problem. Are we allowed to kill other human beings, in your perspective, just based upon their location?
If they're... No, inside your body isn't like a location. So, it's inside your body.
It's a location. Technically.
I mean, yeah, but it's not like a country or city or some
but it's,
thing.
It's a human being inside the womb of the safest place, supposed to be the safest place in the world for a child is inside the womb of their mother. And you believe the mother should be able to murder their own children in their wombs?
Yes, if it's in their womb and they don't want it there, yes.
Just because it's in their womb. How about 6 months after it's born, it's in an uncomfortable location for the mother. Are they allowed to kill it then?
Is it in their womb?
Well, they're just in a different location. Your argument is based upon location. It's in the womb. So based upon that location, I can murder it. So 6 months after it's born, it happens to be in a location that's uncomfortable for the mother. Should she be able to kill it then too? Like, where do you draw the line? This is, by the way, where I'm going to show you.
I draw the line. If it's in their womb, then they can like kill it or whatever.
Okay. I appreciate using the proper terminology, but the issue of abortion you're making as the moral justification here is it's based upon location. I can kill another human being simply based upon location. I don't need their consent. They don't have to have done anything to me morally. I can just murder an innocent human being based upon location.
If it's a part, no, if, sorry, oh my gosh.
No, go ahead. Take your time. No rush. There's no rush here for an answer. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. If it's like literally a part of your own, not yours, but like your body.
It's not a part of your body though.
Yes, it is. It's growing. It's literally a part of your
body.
It's
a distinct.
The only way it can survive is a part of your body.
It's a distinct human being, different from your biology. It's located in your womb because God gave you a womb to grow babies.
It's attached to your body.
Sure. It's not. It's a distinct human being from your body. That's biological. Now, you and I both agreed last time that we would appeal to science. We wanted to be people who are scientific and that we used our reasoning and all the rest. Scientifically speaking, it's a human being that's distinct from the biology of the mother. Of course, it happens to be in her womb because that's where every human being grows, in the wombs of their mother. But you think we should be able to kill human beings in the wombs of their mother because for what reason? Let's maybe do that. For what reason?
Because the mother doesn't want to be pregnant.
Okay, so if what would your argument be with the countless mothers over the last 20 years in just the United States of America that have murdered their own children? At
like,
6 years old, you can take the examples of a mother who's taken her two twins and drowned them in the bathtub. You can take the example of the mother who drove her children into the lake. Or you can take the example of, say, I don't know, use like Chris Watts in Colorado, the guy who, you know, he just don't want to be married anymore. His children were a burden to him. He didn't want them anymore. And so he killed his wife and unborn child. And then he took his two daughters. He suffocated them and threw them into oil wells.
Oh, yeah, I know. I watched the documentary.
Okay, so what was wrong with that decision? He didn't want them anymore. They were a burden to him.
They weren't a part of his body. They weren't inside his body.
Okay, so again, back to the location issue. I was asking you, which I think is a fallacious argument, but I was asking you on what basis, what's the reasoning, the moral reasoning for doing it? And you said she doesn't want him anymore. So what's your argument with the woman who drowns her kids in the lake? She didn't want him anymore. Same principle.
Like, killing them didn't really... benefit her. Like, how did that benefit her? Like, besides like she could have put them up for
she didn't want them. What? Lizzie, the mothers who are going in to have abortions right now could put them all up for adoption.
Adoption stops parenthood, not pregnancy. She had already gone through the pregnancy.
Well, you're at the moment of conception, you're pregnant with a distinct human being from the very moment of conception.
Sure. But it's inside her body.
Okay. So again, you believe that we should be able to kill other human beings in an unjustified manner at will because of their location, where they're located.
Somebody's body, yes.
Where are all humans? Where do all humans get their genesis? Where do they all begin? What's like, the location for every single human being?
In their mother's body, yeah.
In their mother's womb. Okay, so this is not. So it's not. So here's the thing. It's just to challenge you on this. It's not an unnatural thing for a baby to appear in the womb of a mother. That's kind of where they go, right? But you believe that mothers should be able to murder the children at will in an unjustified manner because it's inconvenient. They want to.
Sorry, I keep like glancing at the comments. I'm gonna like exit out of that. It's distracting.
Yeah, don't. It's always good to never look at the comments, Lizzie.
They're not that bad, honestly.
Okay, yeah. So, but again, you believe that a mother should be able to kill her child in an unjustified manner in the womb because she just doesn't want it.
Because she doesn't want to be pregnant, yes.
Right. So, okay, so let's extend it, though. I'm going to challenge you on your position here just to show you consistency, because I think you, if you want to be consistent, you got to adopt the whole, you got to take the whole package, Lizzie. And again, I'll challenge you on whether you can have any justification for all these moral outrages apart from Jesus Christ. But when you think about this issue, extend it. You think that a mother should be able to kill her child because she doesn't want it in her womb now so she can kill her child. But I would say, how about at 5 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old? Because let me just challenge you with this. Actually, the real burden of children comes later. I've got five of them. And I'll tell you that the easiest time we had with any of them was in the womb of the mother. All of them, as they get older,
you were pregnant.
We're all sinners. We have moments where we need correction and discipline. And I can tell you the most difficult times for between my wife and I with our children have been outside the womb, not inside.
That doesn't mean inside the womb isn't like hard.
No. I'm trying to show you. What I mean is the person then says, you know, this child has given me a really hard time. This is very difficult being a parent. I'm really struggling with this. I don't want this child in my house any longer. Is that right?
Put it up for adoption.
Thank you for that pro-life argument. Just put it up for adoption, which is precisely what we would beg the mothers who are going in to kill their children in Planned Parenthood. Please just let us adopt your children. Yeah, I'll give you an example. Can I give you one example? And just, I'm going to see you aim at this, and then I'm going to get to sort of some foundational issues and just ask you about them. My son, Augustine, he's about a year and a half. When his biological mother was pregnant with him, she found out she was pregnant at 5 months. She was addicted to meth and other drugs, and so she was using drugs for the duration of the pregnancy. At 5 months, she discovered that she was pregnant with Augustine. She did not believe she could care for him. She didn't have the resources, and she ran into a Christian friend of hers who said, no, you can't kill your child. Don't do this. And she said, well, I can't raise him. I can't take care of him. And then they went to the doctor, did an ultrasound, found out that he had the worst stage of spina bifida, the worst. He may never walk. He may be in a wheelchair his whole life. He may have some brain damage and brain issues. And she wanted to kill him then, too. She said, no one's going to want to adopt him. Well, we did. We said, we'll adopt him. We'll take him. And so, praise God, amazing miracle. Lizzie, I'd love to talk to you more about it later. But when he was born, a month after we said we'd adopt him, God healed him. I mean, we have the ultrasounds. You can show his spine open. He needed major surgery. He came out perfectly whole and healed. I guess my question to you is this. At 5 months, she wanted to just end his life because he was a burden to her. She couldn't take care of him. Should she have killed Augustine?
If she didn't want to be pregnant, yeah. I'm not saying kill your child now or that it shouldn't have been born.
But it's the same Augustine. So just, and this is what I'm just challenging this, because we can put this in the realm of just mere theoretical, or we could put flesh on it like we should. Augustine is the same human being that he is now from the moment of conception. so this is where it gets put flesh on it. Make it real. Don't allow this just to be mere theory. Make it real. Should his mother have had the right to take his life and to kill him at 5 months when she didn't want him in her womb?
I think 5 months for an abortion is a bit, like, iffy.
Why?
Like, because I feel like at that point, it's definitely more of a baby. Like, I know here in Canada, I think abortions are banned at, like, literally, like, 23 weeks in, like, 6 days.
Mm-hmm. So this gets to another issue I challenge you on. You think that it's icky to take the human life when it starts looking a little more like us?
Well, no, the more
do you see how it's arbitrary?
I
was just challenging you on this because I think you're a bright girl. The issue is arbitrary for you. It's arbitrary in terms of, well, it's in my body, I don't really want it. And I say, well, what about the woman who drowns her kids in the bathtub at 6 because she doesn't want them anymore? You don't really have a solid response to that. When we go to the issue of what's in the womb, you're like, well, I think this is a little too far because it looks a little too human at that point. It becomes an arbitrary thing, not a foundational, strong thing in terms of equal protection for all human beings.
Don't even believe in equal protection for all human beings.
Oh, I certainly do.
No, you believe in the death penalty, which is actually, I want to get into that in like a few
minutes. Let's do it. Okay, so.
Right now?
Well, I think we've probably responded to that as much as possible. But so,
okay.
But in terms of being able to think in categories, I do believe in equal protection for all human beings. I believe that unequal weights and measures is sinful. I believe injustice against other human beings is something that angers God and draws down the wrath of God. I think Jesus died for sins like injustices against other human beings. I believe all human beings are created equal. I disagree with, like, you know, Darwinian and evolutionary biologists and others in the past who have said, like, other humans, like blacks, are less developed. I don't agree with them. I think that human beings we're all equal. And that's a category in terms of human beings. I get to have that as a Christian, all equal, all deserving of love, protection, justice. But if one human being actually violates and victimizes another human being, then justice is necessary. We're talking about justice. We're not talking about the issue of substance and value. Human beings are all human beings made in the image of God. All are to be protected and deserve love and respect and those things. But if one human being in this fallen world creates a victim, then for the sake of the victim, we need to establish justice. So either things need to be repaid, or in terms of rape or murder, the state should give capital punishment. Yes.
All right. So, like, I know I've said this before, like, I do kind of agree with you. Like, I think, like, rapists and, like, murderers who don't have good reasons should be, like, brutally tortured. Like,
what? Well, whoa. I would definitely disagree with you there. Brutally tortured, I think this is brutally tortured, I think, is absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
I think torture. What's that?
Raping people is wrong.
No, I know. That's why they deserve to die. The justice due to the victim. See, here's the thing. I want to uphold the law of God gives us victims' rights, and I want to uphold the rights of the victim, such as yourself, and actually say that the rapist crossed such a line, did something that angers God so much that the state should actually wield the sword of justice and should give capital punishment to that person. But I do not believe that we should ever give the state the power to torture other human beings. And by the way, I just want to express to you this very important thing. I'll save it because I don't want to get off course. That would take us off course. Go ahead. I'll be quiet now.
Okay. Okay. Wait. So who's going to heaven? Like, Christians are going to heaven. Yeah. Like, most Christians who repent.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah?
Sorry. Skipping there. People who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord receive the undeserved, unmerited gift of God's grace that is the redemption that's in Christ. In other words, this is the glory. See, you mentioned something powerful here. You mentioned something so powerful. At the beginning of the show, you thought that God's a big meanie, that he would actually care so much about his own character and his law that he would bring justice that sent other people to hell. What I would say to you is that's because God is just. he's not a fake god. Like, the religions of men have fake gods. Their gods are unjust. They don't care about the violations, ultimately, of other human beings. They don't care, ultimately, about justice. These are supposed gods that just aren't even just. They have no concern for victims. They have no concern for justice or righteousness. They're just fake gods that none of us should think are worthy of following, just real fast. But the God of the Bible is not just a God of justice. He is also love. And he has displayed his love primarily, and this goes to the answer to your question, primarily in that he actually enters into his own creation, Lizzie, and he becomes a man in the womb of his mother, and he lives the righteous and sinless and just and holy life that you and I have failed completely, and I still fail, Lizzie, still. And he represents his people before the Holy Father and God in heaven. He represents them perfectly by living a life that they failed, and he goes to the cross to receive the death penalty, which is what we all deserve. And then, of course, you know the story. He conquers that death and rises again from the dead so that all who come to him in faith, trusting in him and what he's accomplished, receive his perfection as a gift. He takes your sin and your guilt. He takes what you deserve and what I deserve. He takes our guilt and shame, the sin of God's people, and he gives to us his perfection, his righteousness as a gift. And all who trust in Jesus have the gift of eternal life. They are forgiven, Lizzie, not on the basis of anything they have done, are doing, or will ever do. It's solely a gift on the basis of what Christ has accomplished, and the only way to receive that is through faith. So that's a fuller answer to your question.
Wait, so, like, oh, sorry. So rapists will go to heaven if they, like, ask God to, like, forgive them for their sins and all that.
So let's start. That's a great question. Very good question.
And because, why bother giving, like, Christian rapists the death penalty if they're going to go to, like, heaven afterwards? Because that's, like, the goal, right? That's, like, paradise and shit.
Well, so there's two points there. There's two points I would respond to. Number one is that I want you to look at your feet real fast, Lizzie. You've once again stepped into the Christian worldview acting like rape is absolutely morally wrong. You're using rape as an emotional argument that it works for me. I have to confess, it's a very good emotional argument to use against a Christian because we believe in God and the image of God and special creation and ultimate oughts and justice and righteousness and standards. And we believe that rape is absolutely morally wrong. In my worldview, it's a very strong emotional appeal because rape is an awful, evil, deplorable thing in my worldview. But I would just point out that you have one foot in my worldview to use an emotional argument. You still have one foot in atheism because you haven't repented and turned to Christ yet. And so I would point to that. But when we talk about the issue of rape, I would say one of the things you have to consider is what the Bible says about all of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short of God's standards, and all of us deserve hell. And so, yes, in heaven, there will be people who are liars and murderers and rapists and thieves and adulterers, all of that. And that's what makes Jesus such a mighty savior, Lizzie. But what I would say is, if you want a good portrayal of this, you could look at Jesus on the cross. He was dying as an innocent man next to two criminals. And as he's dying for the sins of God's people, this one of the thieves on the cross, this guilty man, turns to him in faith. And Jesus says, "This very day you'll be with me in paradise." He had a life of guilt behind him. And he turned to Christ, who is a perfect savior, in faith. And he received the gift of eternal life. And so, yes, Jesus saves sinners. He's a better savior than any of us are sinners. But go ahead.
Okay, so if you die, like, so if you rape someone, then you, like, they ask God for forgiveness, you accept God, whatever, you go to heaven. But if you die gay, you die because you consensually have sex with the same sex, you go to hell.
Well,
being, like, a rapist is more of, I mean, being gay is, like, more of a sin than being gay.
No,
like, that makes no sense.
I'm sorry. It seems like you have either it hasn't been explained to you, or somebody explained it to you in a very wrong way. There's definitely some misunderstanding here in terms of sin in general. Lizzie, if somebody lived their whole life just telling lies, they're as guilty as the homosexual or the murderer or the rapist in terms of their violating of God's law and their worthiness to be punished. And so it's not like we say, oh, it's because you're gay and that's the big sin. No, the person who is homosexual in their affections and even in their practice is as guilty as the heterosexual man who is an adulterer. Okay, they're two sexual sins, both violations of God's law, both not loving to God, both not loving to neighbor, and both worthy of ultimate separation from God and condemnation. So the real question is not a question of like what kind of sin sends you to hell. All sin sends you to hell. All sin separates you from God. The question is how will you be reconciled to God and forgiven? How can God be a just God and forgive people? Can you just think about that for a second? How could God be a just God and forgive people? According to Scripture, God is a just God, but he's not just justice. He's also love. And what he does in Christ is he actually fulfills his law and his standards of justice. Because here's the thing, Lizzie, this is so important. You want people, and that's very obvious, you want people to actually have to face what they've done to victimize other human beings. You want justice. Well, I would say that your standard of justice is nowhere near God's standard of justice or his desire for justice. He so desires justice that he gives us Christ so that he doesn't just say, I don't care about the rapist's sin. I don't care about the liar's sin. I don't care about the murderer's sin. No, he actually answers it. He punishes it in Christ. So when you think in terms of like, well, the rapist who ends up turning to Christ and ends up having eternal life, that's not really fair. Lizzie, Jesus received the full wrath of God and justice of God on the behalf of liars and rapists and murderers. God never let it go. It was answered in full on the cross. It is never let go. As a matter of fact, I don't think we have any ability to comprehend the level of justice and wrath and response of the Father to Jesus in what happened at the cross. That was supreme justice. The rapist doesn't get away with it. Jesus,
well, kind of seems like he does.
Well, Jesus received it in full. That's the glory of the gospel, Lizzie. Is that no?
Yeah, the rapist doesn't get a punishment.
Oh, that isn't that the glory of the gospel, though? That Jesus receives the wrath of God, the justice of God, in the place of his people that is wholly undeserved. And Lizzie,
no.
that's what I want you to know is that Lizzie, and take this, don't take this the wrong way, because I'm in this with you. Before God, who is a perfect and holy God, you and I are both guilty. Both. Okay. And I, here's the thing. I think I have you beat on sin. I'm 43 years old. And so I have you beat on sin. I've had a life behind me where I've gotten a lot of opportunity to sin. And I think I have a life behind me of more lies, more pride, more anger, and more sexual sin. You have a lot of catching up to do. And so in terms of guilt before God, I deserve wrath. I deserve justice. And here's the thing, Lizzie, so do you. You are just as guilty before God as any liar, any adulterer, any rapist, any murderer. Because
I'm not as guilty as any rapist. That makes no sense.
Well,
I think, like, why is
no, I understand. No, I, doesn't make sense. I don't want you to take that the wrong way. Okay, what I mean by that is this. There's a difference from Scripture in terms of like an absolute standard of what is right and wrong between a sin and a crime. Okay? So no, Lizzie, you are not guilty of the crime of rape and something that horrendous. Scripture doesn't say kill the thieves and the rapists. Scripture says for the thieves, don't kill them, make them pay it back. That would be unjust to kill them. But definitely kill the rapists for the crime of rape, right? There's a difference between sins and crimes. But in terms of sins, you and I are both as guilty in terms of separated from God and rebels as any rapist or murderer. Because I'll give you an example here. You and I, well, I'll do the old my buddies discussion, Lizzie. And this is somewhat of a fun experiment, but hopefully leads to good consequences. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay. You've told lies?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we call a person that tells lies?
A liar?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been guilty of theft? Have you ever stolen anything, ever?
I'm not admitting that on YouTube.
No, I'll admit to it. When I was a kid, I used to go to the store when I lived in Japan on a military base, and I would stuff candy in my pockets. And when I was 11 years old, I was actually caught for trying to steal pocket knives. And actually, they took me to the little baby jail on the military base. I'm guilty of theft. And I'll just say, you know, what do you call people who are guilty of theft?
Thieves.
Okay. Have you ever hated somebody in your heart?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Me too. And so Jesus actually defines the sin that comes before the crime of murder. And he says that if you've hated somebody in your heart, you're guilty of murdering them. Because in your heart, you've already done it in your heart. You've already gone that way. You're not guilty of the crime of murder, but you are guilty of, in your heart, murder, because you hate them. That's what leads to murder. Hatred for another human being. So if you've ever lied or stolen anything or hated somebody in your heart, before God, with his standards, you are a lying, thieving murderer. And let me ask you a question. What do lying, thieving murderers have to expect if they face God, who is a perfect God?
I don't know.
I can tell you what scripture says. I can tell you what scripture says. Justice.
But is justice really burning in hell forever? Like, I get that with rapists.
And Lizzie, can I, and I'll say this to you really humbly. I mean this sincerely. I just want you to hear this from my heart. When you and I say about what Jesus says, that there is a place of eternal torment and it's conscious. By the way, I don't think any of the descriptions we have for hell are fully expressive of what hell really is. I think the great punishment and condemnation of hell is separation from God. That's where God releases you to be who you really are, sinful as you want to be, and hatred towards God, all the rest. But when you and I look at, say, hell, and what Jesus says is a real place, and there's a real thing of eternal torment and punishment, when we look at that and we say, that seems excessive, Lizzie, I just want to say this, it just goes to show how far away we are from God's holiness and righteousness and justice, is that we think our sin is not really a big deal. Like God's character is not all that important.
Also, I have to go.
Okay. So I want you
I'm
to,
sorry.
No, it's okay. So I'm going
to, my ride's here.
No, it's okay. I want to just end with this. We can talk again, Lizzie.
All right.
If you want, but I want to leave you with this, is that, and I know you do have to go, so I'll do this as quickly as possible. Lizzie, you asked some good questions today, and I just want you to think about
more.
This. I want you to think about this. The real issue here before us is, I want to say, as this is a second show, so we're answering more questions this week. I didn't want to reiterate the same old things as last week. Without Christ, you don't have any complaint. Without Christ, you don't have any basis for these things. Without Christ, you don't even have a basis to argue with God in his punishments.
Okay.
But I want to just point you to this. Consider what I said to you about Jesus, about who he is, God in the flesh, the righteousness that he lived by, his death and resurrection. And can I just ask you to do this, Lizzie? I'll do this. I'll reflect on everything you're saying to try to make sure I provide a better answer. And if you would just do this, Lizzie, do you have a Bible?
I do, actually.
Would you read the Gospel of John, chapters, say, 1-6, and then the book of Romans, chapters 1-5? You can come back later to see what I said, but would you read those chapters?
I can't promise that I will, but chances are that I might.
Okay. Well, I'll just hope before we talk again, it won't take you very long. Just read those, and I think it'll give you an important aspect of this whole conversation that I think is being missed. All right. Thank you, Lizzie, for joining us again.
Okay. Bye.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Thanks for being
here. Thank you. Also, don't do me dirty with a thumbnail this time.
What do you mean?
I looked so gross in the last
thumbnail. Oh, no, Lizzie, that's...
You did me dirty.
No, we didn't, I promise you. We actually were like, we tried to take a picture, and we were like, it's the lighting. So, like, Lizzie, like, right now you have purple all behind you. It makes it so hard when you take a clip of that to put it in. So, how about this? You send us the picture that you want us to use for the thumbnail, because we really struggled with it last time. We're like, you know, how do we get a shot of this? Because the color was all difficult. So you send me the picture you want to use. We'll use whatever picture you want, as long as it's appropriate.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I got you.
All right. Okay. All right. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Oh, I was biting my tongue a lot.
All right. Go ahead. You probably wanted to say something, but I
don't want
to. It's hard when you're in a dialogue like. Go ahead. Tell me your thoughts.
She had limited time, so. Yeah. I'm not even going to discuss the comments again today. Just people are sinful.
Okay.
Just say that. Just two things I wanted to address. One there at the end, I wanted to clarify to her, because she was really upset saying, you know, the rapist gets off free. And I think we would say, I don't think, I know we would say, well, even if the rapist repented and trusted in Jesus, he still deserved to die. So I think she was under the impression we were saying, oh, they just get to go to heaven. That's it. There's no punishment.
Oh, actually, good point. And that's, I'm glad you brought that up. We would actually say that the guy who, say, is guilty of raping the woman, say he hears the gospel a year after he's incarcerated.
Right.
God breaks his heart. He realizes his sin before God, not just rape, but his whole life.
Right.
He turns to Christ in faith. We would say, praise God. God has redeemed him. Jesus paid for his sin, but the state still has a responsibility to kill him.
Yeah.
Exactly. We would still say that.
Absolutely.
Even if he was a brother we led to Christ, we would say, we would minister to him. We would love him as a brother. And we would say that the state has the role before God to establish justice for victims. You still need to receive the state's response.
Right. Because that's, she was conflating sins and crimes. I know you were trying to explain that to her, but anyways, I would have added that. But the only other thing I wanted to push on a little more was just her idea of consent. You know, and obviously, as an atheist, she has no objective standard for consent whatsoever. And so, for her, consent works when it's convenient, and that's what I wanted to push on, was just with no objective standard of that. When your standard for consent is subjective, it works for you when it's beneficial to you. So when it involves rape, absolutely consent's important. When it involves abortion, it doesn't matter. There's no objective standard, and I can, you know, be willy-nilly about
totally arbitrary.
Consent. Yeah, arbitrary. Yeah. So that was the only thing I wanted to push back on.
Yeah, and so as everyone's watching this right now, we still have a lot of people online watching us. If you didn't catch last week's, we hope you do. What I wanted to do with Lizzie is I want to have a conversation. I want to have a dialogue. This isn't a public debate with a moderator. There's no reason to take the gloves off here and just go for the quick soundbite, take the legs off the person sort of a thing. I want to love Lizzie. I want to share the gospel with her. I want to answer these questions. And last week, I wanted to try to put some ground underneath us to say what gives us a basis to complain about anything at all. And so we did that. So today, I wanted to try to just answer some more questions from Lizzie. She had some questions she wanted to ask. And I wanted to make sure we can go through those. I want to keep pointing Lizzie, as you hear this in the future, I want to keep pointing you back to your feet to show you the inconsistencies, that you really don't have any basis whatsoever to have any moral outrage or indignation or calls for justice at all without Christ. You need Christ to have that concern. And we wanted to answer questions again, but really, I want to point this out, that at the beginning of this, Lizzie, if you watch this later, if everyone's watching now, you mentioned that you're not just like pretending, you know, to not see God. I think maybe you missed what I said last week when Romans 1 says that we all know God, but we suppress the truth of God and unrighteousness, and we don't want him in our knowledge. We don't want to know him. And so what we do is we switch God for idols. Problem of the human heart is it's a natural idol-making factory, and it is never idle in making idols. It is always making them, John Calvin. That is our condition. We don't want him. We're at war with him. We want all the benefits of God. We want love. We want justice. We want righteousness. We want value. We want meaning. We want human dignity. We want all that, but we don't want him. And so what we do is we run off, we worship all these other things except for God, and we don't want him in our thinking, and we live a life of rebellion. And I wasn't saying that human beings are just going secretly, no, I really do know God. I'm just pretending like I don't. Right. We're saying it's self-deception. Right. We are so self-deceived. Our sin is so important to us. We are so in love with our own rebellion and sin that we can't even see in front of our face, what we're doing. We can't even see it. And one of the things that I think is obvious with Lizzie is you have this very acute awareness of justice and condemnation and punishment and all these different things, but literally no justification for them whatsoever. It's just suspended in midair, right? Like, why should I care about that? I'm a bag of protoplasm. I'm in a universe that doesn't care about us. Hey, you know, I didn't even realize it. The beginning of this show today, we have two show openers. We have two songs we use. I played the other one with Dan Barker.
Oh, yeah.
And Dan Barker is a perfect representative of popular atheist, famous atheist, who on the radio show with me, as we really drilled down in that discussion about whether he has a basis or justification for any moral complaints whatsoever, I asked him about rape.
Yeah,
is it ultimately morally wrong in your perspective for one human being to rape another? Because you're an atheist. He said what? At the beginning of the show, go listen to it again. He said in the cosmic picture, it don't matter. Yep. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
There is no ultimate anything.
Right.
Now, Dan Barker doesn't want anybody to rape anybody, but his atheism doesn't grant you any foundation to say rape is wrong at all.
Right.
He thinks it's icky.
Yeah.
He thinks it's, you know, it's uncomfortable. You shouldn't do it. You know, it makes people hurt. But ultimately, so.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that it's Dan Barker and Lizzie closing their eyes.
I love that.
Squeezing them shut. Like he's not there because I'm closing my eyes to him. Now, all the while, the child is squeezing the eyes shut to say that their father's not standing in front of them. It doesn't change the fact that they're still in the image of their father and they won't escape it. They can't hide from him because they squeeze their eyes shut. And all of this atheism and all these calls for justice as an atheist are nothing more than the unbeliever squeezing the eyes shut and saying he's not there, right? But they're dependent upon him to give them the eyeballs in the first place.
I did find it interesting that, and this makes sense, that for her, the death penalty is not a viable option for punishment because in atheism, you're done. That doesn't matter. Right.
Right.
So for her, the option for punishment is torture.
Torture.
After she accused us of not, what did she say? Like, accuse you of not, not wanting equal protection for human beings, and then she's like, "Oh no, they need to be tortured." I was like, okay, well, hold
well,
on.
And it's one of those things where it's like you have to in a conversation like this where you're trying to have a loving dialogue with somebody, you got to sort of pick and choose, you know, the big ticket items. I talked about that last week.
Right.
We were talking about that, and there's an example of like, for example. You're always going to have a God. You're always going to have an ultimate standard. It's unavoidable. It's not whether, but which. Not whether you'll have a
exactly
God,
right.
But which God you'll have. Not whether you'll have a system of justice, which system of justice. Is it going to be God's or not? Here is Lizzie. Lizzie, I want you to think about this. Lizzie, you're saying, I think it's wrong for God to torture other human beings in hell. But when you were asked about the response to rape and all the rest, you said, I think we should torture those humans.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is you don't want God to be the judge and the ultimate. You want Lizzie to be the judge and the ultimate and her standards to be held upright. And so you don't have a problem with human beings being tortured, ultimately. You have a problem with God sending them to hell. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the ultimate issue is we're all at war with our creator. We're all at war with God. That's the human problem. That's the human condition. We're at war with the creator. All of us are running around with our eyes squeezed shut. The glory of the gospel is that Jesus Christ comes and peels back your eyelids. That's not even good enough. The glory of the gospel is that Jesus breathes life into a dead corpse and raises it to newness of life. And God fills that person with his spirit and God gives them eternal life and forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation and peace. And it doesn't make any dang sense because we are the rebels.
That's right.
That makes no sense. Humanly speaking, the gospel does not make sense, humanly speaking, because all of us would say, get them. I mean, don't we all feel like that, right? You got someone who's an enemy, they're attacking you. They're like, your first response instinctively as a human is get them. Mm-hmm. Take him down. You want to come at me? I'm gonna come after you with all I've got. That's the human response. It doesn't make any sense. The gospel's like, it doesn't make any, it's like turned on its head. We're the enemies. We're the ones trying to burn down the king's city. We're the ones throwing weapons at the king. We're the ones that hate him. And he sends his son to save those people.
Yep.
That Amen. Makes no sense from a human perspective.
Amen.
And that's the glory of the gospel. Is that he's the just one and we're the unrighteous and he comes to save us. That doesn't make any sense. The gospel, humanly speaking, makes no sense. It makes logical and philosophical sense. It solves the problem of justice. It shows the love of God, all of that. But I'm talking about all of us recognizing instinctively, something doesn't seem right about that, that I'm the one that's the offender, and he comes to me? That doesn't make any sense. All right, guys, thank you so, so much for watching this episode of Apologia Radio. That is Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Don't forget, everybody, to please go and check out ApologiaStudios.com. Sign up for all access. You make all this content possible and everything that we put out at all times. And so I want to thank you guys also very much for that. I do have another announcement. I'm glad I remembered this. First of all, I am going to be in Nashville next week for the Founders Conference they're having in Nashville and for the Southern Baptist Convention, their annual meeting. So we'll be in Apologia Studios. We'll be in Nashville next week. I am also going to be in North Carolina for a conference on abortion and apologetics and all that stuff. I'll also be speaking at a church there. I'm just waiting for it to load here. Everybody, forgive me. I know I've got all the information and details around here somewhere, but I'm going to be in Asheville, North Carolina. Did I say it like I'm supposed to?
I'm not sure.
Asheville, North Carolina.
We'll say yes.
I'll be in Asheville, North Carolina, and I'm so sorry. I should have had this pulled up. I'm glad I remembered, though, because I don't want to leave you guys without this. Oh, boy. What's going on with this? All right. Maybe it's in here. Okay. Sorry, guys. Hang on so you can find out when you can hook up with us in North Carolina. It's going to be next month, Asheville, North Carolina, and... Oh, boy, so many posts. Okay. Well, how about this? I'll put it up on Apologia Studios Facebook page so you all see it. Asheville, North Carolina, it's somewhere at the beginning of June.
I don't even know the details.
Yeah, it's somewhere at the beginning of July. I'm so sorry, everybody. I should know this. Somewhere at the beginning of July. Asheville, North Carolina. I'll put everything up for you guys on my Facebook page and Apologia Studios page. Be looking forward to have you there. You do actually have to register for the conference, so if you do want to come to Asheville, make sure that you guys go to the link that I put on the page and sign up and get your registration taken care of. What's that? July the 9th? It's like several days, though. Okay. That's the Friday, right? Equip and Go Conference, Asheville, North Carolina. All right. Next week we'll talk about it more or sometime.
No, we won't because you'll be
I'll be in
Nashville next
Nashville.
Week.
Nashville. Okay. You'll find out. Apologia Studios, Facebook, YouTube. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Luke the Bear.
Peace out again.
Jeff, enjoy the girls. Sick today at home. And so we'll catch you guys next week right here on Apologia Radio.